Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Today's going to be two shows in one. Me bashing Chuck Hines and the End of the Bench Derby coming up at 11:30. It is going to be exciting, I can tell you that much, as we welcome you in to the first United Bank Studios, a Hacks Collier and Lucas edition of the program. As we get settled in here, we have previous topics to go over that were brought up on the morning drive. I will be traveling tomorrow with Texas Tech Baseball to Lawrence, Kansas. And looking forward to that. Even with yesterday's roasting by a mid-major New Mexico 17, Texas Tech 3.
Although it's one game. But how quickly everything from what was a great weekend sweep out the out the window. It's like, hey, you know, the pitching looked great, you know. Best Big 12 RPI or best Big 12 ERA in the league. You know, we got co-hitters of the week. These guys have hit four home runs in five games. This guy's done this. Look at the defense. The defense looked great. Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Watch this. It was a weird game because the first three innings, you had a light wind blowing out to left field, and then the storm started to form south and east of Lubbock, and it started sucking in north air. And so then we had northeasterly winds blowing out to right field, and New Mexico does what Tech usually does. Tech's usually expert in which way is the wind blowing. Okay, that's the way we're going to hit it. New Mexico just pummeled the right center field gap over and over and over again and cleared the fence and bounced it off the fence and gave Austin Green a workout and just routed us. I mean, it was ugly. All the way down to the ninth where they were like, yeah, we're not done yet. We're going to score six more runs.
Let's just keep going and see if we can hit another home run here.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
It was gross.
You kind of that the second inning I had while I was doing, I was out there for the – it was 7-3 when I left. So I left in the fourth or whatever.
Saw you down there.
After the back-to-back home runs from Landon and Drew Woodcox. But I was like, okay, I'll let – Faith get the rest of the good highlights, and I had already laid out everything, and I put stuff in the show, full well knowing, you know, this could change because it's going to change. Tech always scores 10 runs against the Lobos. Mm-hmm. But I even put, that throw from Austin Green, complete afterthought in this game.
Yeah.
Complete afterthought. It was a great throw. Gunned the guy out at home. Got out of
what? Terrific.
Yeah, I mean, they got their leadoff guy on. I don't know what the final tally was, but it felt that. I know the leadoff guy was on every single inning I was there. But, yeah, it was
ugly.
Austin looked great, and then Austin didn't look great out there.
Yeah. Got into some Keystone Cops stuff.
Yeah.
You could hear the Benny Hinn music playing.
Yeah, that fourth inning, three of their runs were unearned, and I'm like, that's 7-3. You can still get back into this. Yeah, they earned a lot more runs after that.
Lucas, should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back?
I personally don't have an opinion on it, but if I was to lean one way or the other, I think he should. Yeah.
Collier, should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back?
No. What were the rules whenever he did it?
Well, yeah, wasn't that back in 2000 and...
Oh, so long ago.
It was so long ago.
But yeah. rules are rules, and you have to follow the rules.
Were
you allowed to legally be paid as a college athlete when Reggie Bush... I'm just asking.
No.
It's a straight up yes or no question for both of you. Absolutely not. Okay. That's all. I'm on team Chuck Hines in this one.
Have you seen Pony Excess?
I have, 100%.
Long before Reggie Bush was taking these payments.
And what happened to them?
Do you not think that the payments were crossing the board there?
100%. Don't get caught. He got caught. I'm not saying that
everybody that wanted to compete
was doing it.
Was doing it.
Athletically, okay. Though, do you think he deserved the Heisman that year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yes. 100%.
I also think
Vince Young deserved the Heisman. Are they going to give him one since he had a better year? Adrian Peterson should have won a Heisman as a freshman, but no freshmen get Heismans. And we know Adrian Peterson probably got paid as well. But he figured out how not to get caught. Reggie Bush is doing okay without having the Heisman. I mean, he works for Wendy's. He works for Fox. Everything's okay for Reggie Bush these days. He doesn't need a Heisman trophy to go do Nissan commercials.
You don't think that eats at him? That he is, there's only 100 of these in the world, and I earned one, and now I can't have it. It's sitting in collecting dust in the closet somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure it does, and I totally understand his stance in it, that everybody else was getting paid, but he got caught. His parents got a house in L.A., right? Is that what it was? Something like that?
Yeah, there's a house involved.
His parents got a really nice house in L.A., which I'm sure they've sold since then and made a lot of money off of it. If he was as good as he was, which I think he was absolutely amazing, I remember watching him and staying up late and watching him spinning, you know, doing Reggie Bush things. If he could have done that where? He could have done it everywhere and won a Heisman, right? Could have done it. You pick a place, not as...
Tulane.
Why not? Some really good running backs that come out of Tulane.
Name one.
There's one in the NFL. I'm just saying,
this is something that's needed to happen for a long time. He earned it on the field. Now he's getting it back, and this is the way that it should be.
I certainly hope that Johnny Manziel saying he wouldn't show up to a Heisman Trophy ceremony wasn't the reason behind this. I don't think it was. It's obviously very timely, and he put his name out there. But talk about an individual if you're the Heisman Trophy Trust wanting to not make mad. Johnny Manziel.
I just picture that stage and all of the past Heisman winners up there. And I would say probably 60% got paid like crazy. And nowadays, everybody's getting paid. So I just have trouble separating the fact that most, going back to the 70s, cheated like crazy. And we're going on if they got caught or not to be the clarification of if you get to keep your hardware or not. I've thought this for a long time. I'm glad it came up today because it's a great topic. He deserves it.
No.
He earned it.
He might have earned it, but he also earned a big paycheck and a house in L.A. that made him his parents a lot of money.
Which most players have going on behind the scenes.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
1 hour away from the End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line. Hacks, Collier, and Lucas edition of this program. Thrilled that you're with us. Will the Derby be streamed? Yeah, if you're listening to it, you can listen to it where you're listening to it now.
And if you miss it, you can go back and listen to it later.
It'll be archived.
It'll be archived.
I'll also have it in the podcast.
Yeah, it'll be in the podcast.
Yeah, many, many ways and you can listen.
I believe Schwa said they're going to play it in the 2 o'clock hour again. So it's a big, big day around here. I've been looking forward to it for a while. It's kind of like, you know, you're going to get out of class a little bit early. Get to go play on the playground, you know, for a extra hour. Which these days, it doesn't seem like they get out there very much. The time is quick. Time is quick for lunch and for recess time. What was your here's I'm going to do one burning question. Go ahead, hit the sounder.
Go ahead.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight.
One of your burning questions.
It's time now for burning questions.
Which one? My best athletic feat.
Oh yeah.
Back in Oklahoma, did you guys do this in elementary school? Have land runs
all the time. Yeah.
Well, like it would be, but
on land run day.
Yes, yeah. But so we had this huge like field with trees and everything. Yeah, we did a land run.
Yeah, we did the same thing.
This was by far my biggest athletic feat.
Dressed up like cowboys.
Yeah. And you had like you'd have a female friend that would be your wife or whatever, and you would go get the best land. They would shoot the gun, and you would
stake
run
your claim.
Yeah, you would stake your claim. I was the fastest person. Got underneath this tree, huge tree, great shade tree. It was a wonderful time. We did amazing things. I was the fastest individual. I beat a guy that ended up being a running back at Texas A&M. That's probably my athletic.
To the best land.
Yep, to the best land. I was faster than a Texas A&M running back.
We did ours on the football field at Empire, and they have pictures of us lined up, and me, and I was in a pearl snap shirt, cowboy hat, boots, jeans, belt buckle. That's how we'd spend our afternoons.
Yeah, no, I remember doing it a couple
land
times.
Land run.
So random.
Stake your claim.
You didn't do that in high school or in elementary school?
Lucas. Not in Virginia, no. I don't think
you just relive Civil War battles. It's a completely different thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, sorry. I hijacked somebody's burning questions.
No, I have what was your worst injury on the playground?
Worst injury on a playground?
Did you have one?
No, not that I recall. I don't remember any playground injuries. I broke my pinky one time. We were playing like some type of field hockey at my friend's house. That's the extent.
I'm not laughing at mine because mine's pretty boring. I just came around, ran around the edge of the slide, and Jeff Lawson is a huge young man in my grade. He had this red jacket on, and all I saw was this flash of red, and my eye went into his shoulder, and I had this massive, blown up shiner. Mm-hmm. My eye, swole shut. That's not the funny one. The funny one's my brother. My brother was very, very small guy. They decided to start launching people off the seesaw. So he was on one end, and like four of his buddies jumped up and pushed down to launch him. And he said he went so high that he could see the top of the ag barn. He comes down, snap, breaks his arm.
I would imagine.
So I'm at the water fountain there in the hallway. My coach Doug Scott, he goes, "Your brother's done." And I'm like, "He's dead?" He's like, "No, he broke his arm." I said, "Well, why would you phrase it that way? Your brother's done." Oh boy, that's how I found out that he had indeed broken his arm. So, well, that was a lot of turmoil for Mama, and he came out of that deal just fine. But he said he went so high he could see the top of the ag barn, and that was always cracked me up. Because you're up there if you got that going on.
I got hit.
It's time for a pop quiz.
I got hit in the head by a rock. I remember we were running. It was during maybe PE. We were running down to the baseball field to play kickball or something like that. Again, got down there before everybody, and somebody, I guess,
hurled a rock.
Hurled a rock, hit me right in the top of the head. Boom. Looked like one of those, you know, like I look like a wrestler. Blood just streaming down my face.
Mm.
So there, there's
first day I was in the neighborhood in Stillwater, I got shot by a kid with a BB gun. I was just riding my bike, taking a tour of the new neighborhood, and I felt this zah! Turned around, and this dude, Adam, he had his BB gun. And I went up and confronted him. I said, did you shoot me with a BB gun? Oh, no, no, I didn't do that. I was like, baloney, you did. You want to fight? You know, it's almost like you're in prison, you know. You can't be pushed around on your first day.
Yeah, you had to.
Okay, the highest win percentage in conference basketball play over the last 10 seasons in college basketball. There are so many mid-majors on this list of 30 that if you get to 8, you win.
Gonzaga.
One. They have the best at 92.6%. Just conference play.
Just conference play. I'll go Kansas.
75.1%.
And we're done. Who's a really good Atlantic 10 team? Who's an Atlantic 10 team? It's a better question. Kevin Millar, by the way, was the answer. Kevin Millar.
Yeah, Kevin Millar.
Lucas, go ahead and give me one.
Liberty.
I'm going to get a strike from Lucas.
Huh!
Oh, wow. Yikes. Were you doing football?
I was doing basketball because they won the Sun like 3 of the last 4 years.
No. Creighton. Strike two.
Huh.
Well, this has gotten out of hand fast. 2-2. Another basketball team that's won a lot of conference tournaments. Conference. Yeah, I don't even believe in conference tournaments, so we're good. Geez, what's another? Butler. Strike three.
Huh.
Well, oh well.
Failure.
Duke.
Story of my life.
Ding. Duke, 71%.
You said, how many years did you say?
10 seasons. Come on, Lucas.
Kentucky.
Ding. 74.4%.
I must have misunderstood the question. Kentucky's won that many. Like, in the last 10 years? Wow.
Michigan State.
That's a good one. Not even
UCLA.
Nope.
Who's won the most Pac-12? USC?
Nope.
Arizona.
Oregon.
There we go. Arizona. Yeah. Arizona.
Vermont, South Dakota State, Belmont, St. Mary's, UC Irvine, New Mexico State, Texas Southern, Yale, Colgate, Villanova, Virginia, nope. San Diego State, Stephen F. Austin, Houston, Arizona, Winthrop, Princeton, Eastern Washington, Duke, Murray State, Iona, Dayton, Purdue, Sam Houston State, Virginia Commonwealth, and Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon's been around long enough to have the most. I must have.
I was never going to say Virginia anyway, so.
I did that for time purposes.
All right, we'll come back and have more from the chat line because there's a lot on there next.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the hump day edition of the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score. You know what I didn't do?
Yep.
didn't give the word. Bird. The bird is the bird. Let's go with Phillies. If you want to win some money in this local contest here in Lubbock, go to 100.7 The Score right now and type in Phillies. Your next word will be at 12:45. David Estrada won yesterday, 250 big ones. It's a local contest again through Raymar and our friends at the Home Zone, helping you make your house a home. Phillies, P-H-I-L-L-I-E-S. You can enter as many times as you like to increase your chances. And on June 20th, we'll gather at Two Docks to give out the big money. That's when we make the big bucks. See, I'm washing lettuce. Next, I'll be on fries. Then I make assistant manager in a year or two. That's when the big bucks start rolling in.
R.I.P. Right?
Been a while.
Yeah.
Been gone for a long time.
Not that long. Was he on some show called Baskets? With?
Oh, yeah, he was. Was that Galifianakis?
Yeah. How long? I hate doing this game because it's always like, oh, that was 17 years ago. Let's see. Louis.
You dressed up like a woman in Baskets?
Yeah. Passed away on my birthday 2 years ago.
Hmm.
2022. Okay, at least it wasn't like 16 years ago. Baskets. When was Baskets out?
Who's the funniest big guy of all time?
John Candy was pretty funny. Does Belushi count as...
I think so.
Yeah. He's probably him. That was very short. Man, that's an unfortunate group is what that is.
Chris Farley?
Chris Farley. That was the next one I was going to go with. That's where the unfortunate came from. I don't know. I really...
John Panette?
Mm-hmm. John Panette. I need to...
That's the answer. Funniest big man of all time.
Yes, the Chinese. Yes, that's the one. Yeah. You can't do that bit anymore, though.
No, you couldn't do it.
Yes, that's the answer. Period. I mean,
I just,
when you said his name, I was like, funny, I wonder if it's the
when it comes to funny, it's I mean, all those guys, they're legends that we mention. And to me, he's the funniest. He's probably the least popular, for sure. But I'll never forget laying in bed, wife and I flipping through the channels, flipped on John Panette, and we watched his stand-up, and we were bawling. We were laughing so hard. And Jen's a laugh crier anyway. And so once we got rolling, we couldn't stop.
Yeah, you're here 4 hours. You've been here four hours,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, those missing letters in there.
Free Willy.
I do like Zach Galifianakis. Between Two Ferns is pretty good stuff.
All right. This was going to be a burning question. And I didn't get it.
What was the word again?
Hmm?
What was the word again?
Oh, Phillies.
Phillies. Just for the people that are coming back in and missed it the first time we said it at 10:45. The best part of that was like, hey, let's do the bugles again so it reminds us to do the word. Whew. The Phillies have been forgettable to me anyway, so.
All right. Start bench cut. Wedding Crashers. Hangover. And I know your thoughts about Anchorman, but I'm putting it in there anyway.
My thoughts about Anchorman?
No, hold on.
I was about to say, I like Anchorman.
I know. We both love it. It's our...
I was about to say, that's...
One of our favorites.
Going to make the other two.
Okay. Star bench cut. Wedding Crashers, Hangover, and The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Talladega Nights.
Oh, man. Man. I like Wedding Crashers, but... I've seen the other two so many more times. You know what? I'm going to go The Ballad of Ricky Bobby 1. I'm going to start them. I'm going to bench The Hangover, and then I'm going to get rid of Wedding Crashers.
Lucas?
Just the first Hangover. That's it. Pretend like the other ones never happened.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely start The Hangover. I would bench... Talladega Nights, and I would cut Wedding Crashers as well. But I really don't want to cut any of them.
Yeah,
so.
Just on volume of watching them all and knowing what I'm getting at, like the cut scenes at the end for... I probably watch those more from Ricky Bobby than... I enjoy
don't
stuff
you
like
put
that.
Put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby!
Yeah, I think I'm going that route. You're still watching three movies there.
I'm starting The Hangover.
It's the best one of the bunch.
I'm putting Ricky Bobby on the bench, and with much
regret.
Regret and torn heart. I'm
Mom. The meatloaf. Did I ever tell you the story about a former Texas Tech athlete that we asked him in one of those quick rapid-fire things his favorite movie or quote or whatever, and it was that, and he said it, but he said it, all of it. And we're like, we can't use that. He was from another country, but whenever he said it, he looked at us. He was like, he smiled. He was like, can I say that? And I was like, you could say it. We just can't use it.
What is she doing? What's she doing back there? Headlines. Derby time is upon us. Close. Close. 10. About 15 minutes. You want to be by your radio because the Derby cometh at 11:30 on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. Our listenership, I'm sure, is through the roof as the End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line is just about to happen. We've had a late scratch. We want to make sure that we get that out there one more time. We have no details unless, Joyce, do you have any details on why Tobacco Enema is out?
The Mafia.
Mafia took him out.
Yikes.
Also trying to drag my feet a little bit for Sneed because I would love to get Sneed reacts.
Well, maybe just as important is what's going on with that shirt over there, Joyce? You look like you could – I mentioned this earlier. Hopefully you weren't listening. You look like you could be riding one of the horses in the Derby with that shirt.
Well, there are lots of colors. So.
Yeah.
Here he is. Here he is.
My goodness. Swear. Look at this guy. You were the only one that dressed up. There we go. Here, you take over. Yeah. Let's see it.
Get your Clint Julep.
In all its glory. There's your Clint Julep. I just had
Pocket
it.
Pocket square is nice. All right, so just to give the listeners out there a little lay of the land, you got Lucas and Ben behind the glass. You got Jeff McGuire making Clint and Lint juleps. You got Chris Snead, David Collier, Hacks, and Woodman. Boys, you ready?
Yep, I got to get some headphones.
Oh, come on.
Delaying the Derby even
further. Golly, man.
The Clint Juleps are in hand, by the way. And, again, equal parts Mountain Dew Code Red, and Mountain Dew Baja Blast, courtesy of Jeff McGuire. Served on ice. Again, I've never had two of these. This isn't bad.
How about a little vodka?
Not yet.
Might make
not
it better.
That's not out of the realm of possibilities. Mm.
Without further ado, the 2024 End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line.
Hello and welcome into Ransom Canyon Downs, a part of the majestic Woodman Estates. Home of several magnificent attractions. Yes, on any other day, the crowds would be rushing to the refreshing Dr. Pepper wave pool. Perhaps taking in the wonders of the exotic petting zoo, or even getting their fill at the questionable, yet highly trafficked, exotic petting zoo buffet. But every patron who has stepped on these hallowed grounds today is here for one thing, and one thing only, to be but a humble spectator of the greatest sporting event man has ever known. It is the third annual End of the Bench Derby, presented by The Bottom Line. 20 horses strive to reach the same heights as 2022's inaugural champion, Inner City Squirrel. And who could forget last year's champion, Gas Station Fireball, who claimed an incredible come-from-behind victory. The precedent has been set. Who will meet the standard this year on the track? One horse today will do just that. 19 others will hang their heads in shame. For one spectacular stallion, it's the sweet taste of victory. For the 19 others, it's a glue gala. One extravagant equestrian will leave the others behind, saying goodbye, adieu, and ciao. For the others, they become Puppy Chow. Let's introduce the field going from best to worst odds. At the very top, in dark gray with 3-1 odds, he's smoked all competition he's faced thus far. It's Tobacco Enema. In powder blue with 4-1 odds, he is the Cock of the Walk Barnyard Pimp. In gold, folks, he's a lover, not a fighter. It's Chuck Hates New Home. With 6-1 odds in black, known as the Michael Jordan of baked goods, it's Air Biscuit. With 15-1 odds in dark blue, he is a nightmare to travel with. It's Road Pickle. In green, his legs must be on a roll. It's Buttercrotch. Four horses have 20-1 odds in white. Don't look him up on Twitter. It's Big Sweaty Cuban. In orange, 2 tons of mass and sass. It's Hippo Chrissy. In green, he holds the record as the world's largest Shetland pony. It's Hobbit XXL. In lime green, did someone get steak in their stockings? It's Meat Sock. All sharing 30-1 odds in red, hoping to not stumble out of the gate. It's Chatline Tourette's. In royal blue, he's the best of both worlds. It's Waffle Taco. In purple, honk if you love the Derby. It's Molested Goose. In yellow, making the Romans and Sir Mix-a-Lot go crazy, it's Humpback Gladiator. Finally, the long shots, all at 50-1 odds. Charged by a higher power, in light blue, it's Biblical Battery. In pink, full of rice and depression, it's Hibachi Sadness. In maroon, the smell of victory has seeped deep into his nostrils. It's Kerwin Essence. In navy, just like peanut butter and jelly, it's Chicken and Drugs. In dark green, Huevos Grandeza, it's Balls of Greatness. And finally, in hot pink, Australian for horse, it's Humpty Doo Mate. The lens have been juleped, the hats are ridiculous, and all the bets are in. It's time to race. And they're off. Chuck Hates New Home with an early stumble. Biblical Battery shot out of the gate like a cannon and is the first horse to take a lead. Molested Goose just behind him with Kerwin Essence and Humpty Doo Mate on the outside. The front group consisting of Hippo Chrissy, also Buttercrotch and Waffle Taco. In the very back, Hibachi Sadness, Humpback Gladiator, and Meat Sock with Hibachi Sadness a couple lengths behind everyone as we make our first turn. It is Biblical Battery, Molested Goose, Hippo Chrissy, and now Big Sweaty Cuban with Road Pickle trying to make a push. But everybody is trailing Biblical Battery as they have the whole way as we make our second turn. Now in the back, Chatline Tourette's, Humpback Gladiator, and Hibachi Sadness, who has passed a couple horses who started dead last. Now in the middle, Kerwin Essence, Buttercrotch, Hobbit XXL, and Humpty Doo Mate. But Biblical Battery has set the pace for this Derby. We come around 51. The left turn still. Biblical Battery. Molested Goose, who stuck with Biblical Battery this entire race. Buttercrotch trying to make a push on the inside, as is Road Pickle on the outside. biblical battery is doing everything he can to maintain his lead, and Hibachi Sadness trying to take off on the inside portion of the track. And down the stretch they come, biblical battery, Molested Goose, Road Pickle, all trying to maintain their lead, but on the inside track, here comes Hibachi Sadness. This may be a miracle push all the way from the back. It's Sadness, now Road Pickle, who is trying to track him down. But Hibachi Sadness has found separation. I don't believe it. In pink, no Sadness today. It is Hibachi Sadness as your 2024 end of the bench derby winner. What a sight to behold. Hibachi Sadness slow played the entire field until it was time to kick it into high gear. Then as hot as the walk of his namesake, Hibachi Sadness delivered a win for the ages. Like Inner City Squirrel and Gas Station Fireball before him, Hibachi Sadness has turned that frown upside down and grasped onto glory. A race we will never forget, a victory that will stand the test of time. And just like his name suggests, we will all be hungry for another race in 30 minutes, but no one will ever take away the title of champion. And now we send you back to the First United Bank studio, where the end of the bench will react and analyze all the action. Until next year, when we meet again, from Ransom Canyon Downs, thank you for joining us.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Well, we just had Woodman say, "Do I get on my knees? Is that worse?" Good thing Michael Scott's not anywhere around here. He was going to show his derby shirt.
Somebody on the H Flooring Center chat line had asked for a closer look at C Choice on camera wearing his famous green silks there. Thank you, sir. Job well done.
So the story about Hibachi Sadness was very interesting, or is very interesting, because that was the third name that went on the list out of 200.
Yeah. Too many.
They eventually got pared down to 20. But that was back when we were doing the end of the bench versus the bottom line Olympics. And Choice and Megan had gone out and hogged out at a Hibachi place.
They were there for 4 hours, is what I heard.
He just ate and ate and ate. And then he comes out there and tries to stop penalty kicks from, what was her name?
Kyler.
Kyler. I was thinking Skyler for some reason. And Kyler, by the way, has a rocket attached with her leg.
Yeah.
I mean, she can really hit it. So Choice the whole time was complaining that he had no levitation homes because he ate all the Hibachi. Then Shelley came up with Hibachi Sadness.
Yeah.
Then it went into the groupings of names. I really thought Biblical Battery was going to win. So the time that takes and the talent that takes for Clint is really something special.
And that's one of those things that you have to listen to over and over again, because you're laughing at something he said, and right away he's saying something equally or even more hilarious right afterwards. I know I missed something in there, but the one where he was after the race was over and he said, as hot as the walk of his namesake or what? Yeah. I mean, yeah.
One thing that I've got to applaud him on is he takes a little piece of radio and makes it thrilling. I was on pins and needles, excited. And, you know, you're imagining all this in your head, and the sound is quality is awesome, and he hits the... You know, that's the way you're supposed to do play-by-play, is use your weapon, use your voice as a weapon. And the anticipation grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And then you have the, you know, the Vesuvius at the end, and it's just awesome. It is so good.
No, another phenomenal call by him. He needs a bonus for that. I'm not in charge of any of that, but
Bullfighter says video coming soon. Started on it already. Bullfighter, that is an added extra thing that I love too. That's awesome when you put it to the video, and you're talented too when it comes to that. Clint nailed it. Clint, awesome call again. All because Waco overate Japanese food and then couldn't kick a soccer ball to save his life. That was great. Gave everyone a laugh on this Wednesday morning. Thank you. Excellent. Biblical battery lost its charge. Clint Scott is a genius. Pay him a bonus. What a call.
I agree.
Fantastic call of the race. Clint is amazing. Well done. Lucas, move the camera so we can see him.
That's why we brought him in here, Clay, so you could check out that, whatever that shirt was.
Was that the Viking on the call or the Nathan's famous hot dog contest guy? Definitely Viking. You know, Witchcraft paraphernalia was robbed.
Yeah, I'm hearing that the owners of Witchcraft paraphernalia might have had something to do with that late scratch.
Like a crowbar to a hoof or something?
Checking with sources right now, but the late scratch, the favorite in the race.
Scratch.
Tobacco enema did not even get to participate, and maybe Witchcraft paraphernalia had something to do with that.
That was greatness.
I must say the Clint julep was not that bad.
I enjoyed the Lint julep. I did. Bullfighter's got us as the soggy bottom line boys, and Clint looks like something off of Deliverance.
Oh man, Clint, as good as he was on that call of the Derby, he's equally as ugly in that picture provided on the chat line.
Synthetic horse glue, horse name. Here we go. We've already started. So
yeah, the horse name. Yeah. Where they're already rolling in. This is going to have to be a monthly derby at this point.
Portal monogamy. Early entry for horse name. Equally as ugly horse name. So that'll be...
Don't worry, Juan, if you missed it.
Yeah. That'll be archived. Bullfighter will throw some video on it.
It will.
And I think they're going to play it again in hour number three of...
The bottom line. Yeah. You will hear it again today, no doubt about it.
Hibachi sadness. Got it done.
I know.
What were the odds on Hibachi?
50 to 1.
50 to 1?
Yep. 50 to 1 and... Who was the other one? There was another one up there that Biblical Battery was also 50 to 1. Just trying to, let's see. So give me, do you have it? The results up there again from the email that was?
I can get them.
So Hibachi Sadness.
The Road group, Pickle.
50 to 1 for Hibachi Sadness. 15 to 1 for Road Pimple. Sure, Road Pimple.
Big Sweaty Cuban.
Big Sweaty Cuban. Where is the big old Sweaty Cuban at on this list? 20 to 1.
Even put a description on the email. It says, both Biblical Battery and Molested Goose fell back after Hibachi Sadness and Road Pickle passed them all at the end of the race. As Hibachi Sadness forced a gap between the leading group, the two original leaders ran out of gas and struggled to even stay in the middle group while crossing the finish line. And there you have it.
Yeah. Hypocrisy. Our two favorites, fourth and fifth on the list.
Tobacco Scratch, horse name. Do we know that sportsbooks had action on the Derby? Oh, do we know what? Do we know what sports books
had action on the Derby.
All the horse books. That was fun.
That was fun. We out. We'll give way to the bottom line. They'll have their reaction and their fun with it. Great job, Clint. As always, salute, sir. Thanks to David Collier and Lucas White. We had fun today. High School Fan Zone tonight at 6. Rangers, Mariners, 6:30. Double T 97.3. Astros, Cubs, right here on 100.7 The Score. And I'll hop a plane tomorrow, get up, try to get some victories against the Kansas Jayhawkers. Hey, everybody, have a great Wednesday hump day. Get over the hump and start headed towards that weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.